Welcome, listeners of Illusion, to Temporal Discussion, the episode-by-episode Nightmare Retrospective podcast. I'm Martin Harder, unaccompanied and unscripted. Unfortunately, Mr. O'Doni is unable to join me today because of illness, but as it is 34 degrees outside and the windows are open, we are lucky enough to be joined by the man who's been driving his motorcycle up and down the street for the past 3 hours. Today we'll be doing something a little bit different. As most of you will know, we'll be running a competition recently where we've asked people to send in recordings of their nightmare memories, what nightmare really means to them. We had a number of entries, and we've chosen 7 of our favourites, which we'll be talking about in a future podcast. One of those 7 will be chosen at random to win the grand prize, which includes a whole bunch of nightmare books, some signed photographs, and even some beers from Neon Raptor. But we like these entries so much that we wanted to give them some extra attention, and we also wanted to get everyone else involved as well. But we like these entries so much we want to give them some extra special attention. And we want to get you guys involved as well, so we're going to give out an extra prize, which we're calling the Listener's Choice Prize. What we're going to do is we're going to play all 7 of our chosen entries on this podcast. We're then going to put a poll on our Patreon account to ask you which one you think is best. And don't worry, non-patrons will be able to vote as well. Whoever is in the lead at 11:59 p.m. on Friday the 29th of September will be declared the winner. And they will be given the choice of either receiving a t-shirt or a mug from our Redbubble store featuring any of our designs that they wish. And since the motorcyclist has been joined by people blaring their car horns, let's go on to the first entry, which is from friend of the show, David X. Newton.
Hi, Temporal Discussion Podcast. This is David X. Newton, and I've been a fan of Nightmare from its 4th series onward when I was 6 in 1990, but it was only when I was in university that I got in touch with other fans of it, online and in person, and I realised how advanced and remarkable it had been for a children's television show. Nightmare was a weird fandom in the early 2000s because virtually nobody had actually seen all of the thing that we were fans of. There were no official recordings or anything. The state of shareable video was impractical, to say the least, and any exchanging of episodes had to be done under the table through the physical post. So it was like this abstract thing that we all kind of remembered collectively. My parents used to record a lot of favourite programmes in the 90s, and so we just had a huge collection of videos filled with a jumble of cartoons and shows, things that were recorded onto the end of whatever tape had room, and I knew we had some Nightmare on those. So on my first summer away from university, back at my parents' house, I worked out an arrangement with 2 VCRs wired in a sequence, and using the descriptions of the episodes from Nightmare.com, I pieced together a reasonably complete set of series 4, 5 and 6. So the next university year, I brought those with me, and sometimes we'd go down to one of the common rooms and put it on the television and just watch through the whole series. And the best thing was seeing and sharing in other people's reactions to them. Some people would glimpse it through the window in the door and they'd burst in going, "Oh my God!" And they'd enthuse and they'd sit with us. The international students who had never seen it before would come into this huge crowd to see what was going on. And especially in the Causeway rooms, there was this huge tension that we all shared, holding hands as we waited for this helmeted child to shuffle their way across the hexagons far too slowly. So it was incredible to be able to share that and for so many people to appreciate it. It's also really fueled my fascination of full-scale games like the modern-day escape rooms and all the automation that goes into them. And it's incredible to think how we used to, and some people still do, take so much effort and so much technology to craft these games and adventures for people.
Thank you very much, David, for sharing your insights. I won't be commenting much on each entry at the moment because Mr. O'Doni and I will be doing that on a future episode when we announce the winner of the grand prize. Our next entry is from another David, David Thompson.
I first got into Nightmare during Series 2, so I was just 5 years old. Up until then, I'd only really been into cartoons and always moaned whenever I saw real people on a TV. But something about Nightmare made it feel like a bridge between a cartoon and a real-life world, and that got me interested. Another thing I noticed that was different to the cartoons I was watching back then was that the episodes continued from 1 week to the next, so it's created a unique level of anticipation for each upcoming episode that I hadn't really experienced before. Starting from Series 3, I'd tape each episode and watch them multiple times, which would also help me during the long waits between the series. I was also lucky enough back then to have friends who were also really into the show, so each episode would get discussed at school and scenes would get recreated at playtime. I even wanted a Nightmare jumper, so my mum knitted me one with the classic red to yellow gradient logo and a sword under it, as she couldn't find one to buy at the time. Nothing lasts forever, but I was gutted when I found that Nightmare was ending. It felt like some consistent part of my life has been taken away. I did try to give Virtually Impossible a chance, but the fact I only remember having a talking fish and nothing else shows it didn't really have much of an impact on me. Over the years, Nightmare has always had a place in my life, I watched it when I was a kid, I rewatched it in my 20s when it was on Challenge, and now I'm rewatching it with you guys in my 40s. Sometimes when you go back to something, it's not as good as you remember, and doesn't hold up. But that doesn't seem to happen with Nightmare. Even if the individual episodes may not be great, the overall show is. I'd love it to come back in some form, but maybe these 8 series were all it was meant to be, and if that's the case, I'm fine with that.
Thank you, David, and I think most of us will agree with your opinion about Virtually Impossible. It was an interesting experiment, but the only thing that really sticks in anyone's mind about it is the fish with the freakish human nose. Our next recording comes from Dudley, who is known for the YouTube show Yesterzine, the literal magazine show.
I'm not even sure how we found Nightmare. We were a CBBC household almost exclusively. It was Tony Hart over Art Attack, Blue Peter over How To, Broom Cupboard over... I don't even remember how CITV did their continuity. I'm not sure I can tell you another CITV programme we never missed. Equally, I can't tell you when we started watching Nightmare. I was 7 when it started, which seems young, but if anything, I think I remember the earlier series better. And while I must have seen the last of it, I couldn't tell you anything about the replacement for Pickle, or even tell you their name without looking it up. The reason I'm thinking for all this is the lack of repeating of shows back then. So I'm realising my actual memories of Nightmare are probably, like a lot of people's, more derived from the scattered, unorganised repeating on Challenge TV in the mid-00s. They repeated the earlier series much more than the later ones, so those were the freshest memories for me. And yet, if you ask my brain for one image from Nightmare, it's not Traegard, or Pickle, or even a contestant, but Lord Fear's face when he spots someone using a looking glass. And that absolutely comes from it scaring the absolute goblin horn out of me aged about 12. From anything after about Series 5, that's probably all I remember. Probably because I've not watched them in 30 years. I'll get there though. There's this podcast I found. I think you might like it.
Thank you very much, Dudley. And guys, if you haven't already, please check out Dudley's YouTube channel. It's Yesterzine. And it is fantastic. Next up, we have Jamie.
What does Nightmare mean to me? Great question. Thanks for asking, guys. And thank you for your wonderful bi-weekly podcast. Charming, entertaining, and funny. I mean, what do you want for free, right? What more could anyone want? In my household, Nightmare really was an event. It was beyond destination TV. It was anticipated because... unlike today, if you missed it, that's it. You missed it. It was your one and only chance. I'm not going to say it was quite like Christmas Day, but it did have that energy about it. Being from East London, pie mash was the food of choice. So we had pie mash every Friday from Maureen's famous pie mash in Chris Street. Now, if you're from East London, you know about it. If you're not, unlucky, you didn't get pie mash. And I'm sure you're thinking, well, you had to eat that rubbish. Unlucky on you. But each to their own. Each to their own. But I will say the reason Nightmare was... a bit of an institution in my home is because we was allowed to every Friday have that pie mash on a tray in the front room and watch Nightmare, which wasn't the usual case because our mother actually understood it was an event, and it really was an event. I can remember jumping around the front room in anticipation and the energy of any time the Goblin Horn would happen from off screen, or the atmospheric music would happen in anticipation of a Dungeoneer's doom. And when they survived, great. And when a quest was won, it would be like my club West Ham winning the Conference League. I mean, it was such a rare an event, and I think that's what made it special. It wasn't like kid gloves every week, like here's a trophy for everyone for turning up. You know, it really was, oh my God, someone won Nightmare. Like, you just couldn't believe it. Like I said, I was born in the mid to late 80s, so I didn't really see the early years. There was one in my household, but I was too young to see them or at least remember them. I vaguely remember Oakley the Tree and being afraid of him, but the Lord Fear years are really my favourite because I think that's when I was the perfect age. And I hate to say it, but I always liked Pickle. Never understood the hatred for Pickle. And through the eyes of a child, I really disliked Majida the Genie because... on screen, she changed the Helmet of Justice. Now, I know that's... I know it wasn't really her fault, but I've still not forgiven her. I don't think anyone should forgive her for that, if I'm truthful. I said, thank you for the great podcast. And through the years, Nightmare stayed with me, though. I remember when the stage show came back, Nightmare Live. I got to be a contestant. I got to live out a lifelong dream. I got to be a Dungeoneer on my birthday. And I got to die in the Corridor of Blades. So... yeah, the full gambit during lockdown. I was able to rewatch every episode start to back, which kind of helped me get through the days, fill out some time, fill out some evenings. And then I even found your wonderful, wonderful podcast. So thanks for the podcast, guys, and cheerio. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Jamie. Congratulations on being a contestant on Nightmare Live, and we're very, very glad that you're enjoying the podcast so much. Next up, we have the first of two Matthews, Matthew Wilson.
I watched Nightmare the first time around from pretty much the start, I think. I don't remember there being any sort of like promos or hype about this new series that was coming out. It was just there one day. And as a child of the 80s, I'm being massively into sort of like fighting fantasy game books and things like that. And the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon, this was as near as damn it as I was ever going to get to being in one of those books or on that cartoon. And I was hooked. Just the idea of a show where kids could go on and then fail. It went against the ethos of every other kid's sort of quiz show, where the idea seemed to be that, never mind, you know, you might not get the big prize, but you'll still get a prize. Whereas on Nightmare, you fall off a floor puzzle by stepping to the left when you need to step to the right. You got nothing. And that seemed weird. It seemed strange that there could be a kid's show where no one wins. But I think that's what made it so exciting and so interesting for the viewers, is that it wasn't guaranteed that there was going to be any success in this show. It was pretty much the kids survived on their wits. And you were there with them. And that's what made it so exciting to watch. Because I can still remember being absolutely overjoyed when the first team actually won the show. Because this had not happened. You'd be like 4 or 5 episodes in and no one had even got close to it. It was incredible. I was just a massive, massive fan. It was amazing. I bought all the associated merchandise you could get. I had all the Dave Morris game books, naturally, as a game book fan. Also had the game for the Amstrad, which is quite possibly one of the worst video game tie-ins to a TV series or movie of any time ever. I mean, getting out of the first room was ridiculous. Just the way the game was played, using a joystick to select words from a list while you're being attacked by enemies. Getting out of that first room took the best part of, I think it was 2 weeks. Then I got into a corridor and then we died again. And it was ridiculous. And me and my mate went at it for about a month before we got absolutely sick of it. The interesting thing about that game, though, was that it seemed to have been written by people who'd seen the concept document for Nightmare but never actually seen the show, because Tregar comes across as a much more acerbic and rude character in the game. Very still to this day, if we're annoyed with each other, me and my mate, we will accuse each other of being a pheasant meal and of wasting their time, because that was one of the things that Tregar said to you in the game if you made the wrong choice. It was a bizarre, bizarre game. Going from there to later in life, sort of in the early 2000s, when the internet was kind of in its infancy, I was a member on a wrestling news and comedy website. I was one of the writers there, and I was a member in the forums. And the basic understanding was that if you had an avatar, it had to be of a professional wrestler. I wasn't doing that. I wanted Tregard. And I insisted and I insisted, and then I got him. And the first thing that happened as soon as I had posted something in that forum with that avatar is that everyone was like, that's the Games Master from Nightmare. That's awesome. From there, conversation started amongst us on this forum, where basically we ended up being sidelined to one thread because we were taking over the entire forum talking about Nightmare and Games Master and shows like that. Ended up with a group of us creating our own website, which was unasty.com, because apparently, obviously, Nightmare.com was already taken. And Tregard.com was taken as well for some reason. So we set that up. We did various articles about Nightmare, about other kids' TV and other TV programs of the era. And it was fun. I met some guys who I had a lot of fun talking to and writing about Nightmare with. And yeah, that is the influence that show's had on my life. Even to this day, if you want to play on, say, Xbox Live, I am Tregard. If you want to go on PlayStation Networks, I'm Unasty. And if you want to go on Epic Games, I'm Catacombite. whenever I have to come up with a name or any kind of identity online, it's always Nightmare References I go for, because, you know, not only is it the show that I like, but people recognise the name and they'll talk to you and you make friends that way. It's weird because, you know, I'm not going to say I'm a member of a Nightmare community, but there does seem to be a community of people who watch that show, who grew up with it, and they just love it and they love talking to people about it.
Thank you, Matthew. And now I know I couldn't use Catacomb Bite for my Epic Games account. Next up is friend of the show, Matty Boo.
Hi, I'm Matty, Mod Daddy over at the Under Consultation Podcast Discord and streamer over on Twitch on Matty Boo Twitches. And what does Nightmare mean to me? Well, as a child, it means pure escapism. I was a massive fan of fantasy back then. I watched stuff like The Black Cauldron, Willow, Sword in the Stone, Arthurian Legends aplenty, and the odd bit of Barbarian on the old Commodore 64, and Conan the Barbarian, which is way too much of a grown-up movie for a very young me back in the day, but it had swords and beheadings and horses and Darth Vader as the baddie. So, yeah, it was cool. And Nightmare was equally cool in that you can literally watch children die before your very eyes and faces and helmets, oh my, disintegrate. It was, how the heck did they allow this on afternoon television? I don't know. But you know what? We appreciate it. We really do. And of course, all of the acting and all that. As a kid, I really got absorbed whenever anything truly dramatic happened in the show, between the characters, with Trayguard, with Pickle. All of that absolutely astonished me. Me as a grown-up now, completely seeing it all for what it is, you know, a piece of unadulterated silliness, I still enjoy it. I really, really love it. I mean, anybody that watches me stream it, because I basically react to these episodes on a near weekly basis, know how much I really indulge in the silliness of it all. And of course, I'm still a big bloodthirsty tyrant who loves watching children just get slaughtered before my very eyes. Still to this day. I don't know what that says about me. But hey, yeah, I probably wouldn't even go on Nightmare if it was running now, because me as a grown-up, all I'll do is try and out-ham the actors and perpetually ask the war monsters, if they are threatening to eat the Dungeoneers, how are they going to do that? How? But also, how do they poo? Yeah, probably best not to think about stuff like that. Anyway, thank you, Martin and Martin, the Night Martins. Again, if you want to hear any more opinions like how do the wall monsters poo and other such trivialities, check out Matty Vision every Sunday evening over on Matty Boo Twitches on Twitch.
Thank you, Matty. And everyone, please make sure you check out Matty Boo Twitches on Twitch, because he's absolutely fantastic. And a big thank you also to the guys at Under Consultation, the Games Master podcast, who have been a massive influence on this podcast and have been so nice to us and so supportive. Finally, we've got one of our younger listeners, Twill.
Hi, I'm Twill, a big fan of the podcast and Nightmare fan for about a third of my life now, which isn't that long, really. That probably makes me a bit weird, especially since neither of my parents were fans, but hey, maybe I'll offer a new perspective. When I first watched Nightmare, I was about 7 years old, easily frightened, and only tuned into the Challenge Channel to see if the Crystal Maze was on. It wasn't, but there was this weird animated blue guy on a horse, which confused me as I thought it was supposed to be a game show channel. So I kept watching. The following 25 minutes left me with nightmares without the K, and unwilling to pick up the TV remote lest I stumble back onto it by mistake, for weeks. It scared me to the soul. And yet, despite how much I wished to forget it, it stayed with me. Vividly. The memories of Lilith and her creepy causeway, the rolling eyeball of Lyphos clock, the strange objects on the clue room table, and the team's haunting death in the dark were clear enough for me to, many years later, identify the episode as Nightmare's very first. Then, when I got older and bolder, by which I mean 11 years old, I got into Raven and proceeded to find all the lovely things Raven fans said about Nightmare on the internet and decided to give it another shot. I mean, I already knew they had good taste, and it was a brilliant decision. I quickly fell in love with Nightmare's everything. The awe-striking painted backdrops, the badass warrior women like Velda and Gwendolyn and Romana, the cool creatures like the Cavern Whites and the Catacombite. Smirkanov holds fond memories in particular. I love dragons, and his puppet design is just so elegant and beautiful. And the gameplay was so interesting, and the dungeon was so immersive and interactive. Not everything aged well, and I'm sure you can fill in the blanks there, but despite that, and even though by my time the graphics were extremely outdated, it was just so easy to lose myself to the magic. And when I went online and found the fan projects and tributes and articles and the still thriving community around it, well, even though I was too young and too scared to interact much, it made me, a lonely preteen who was very aware her obsession with game shows wasn't exactly conventional, feel a little less alone. Lots of my Nightmare memories are Halloween related, which makes sense given Nightmare's preoccupation with witches and ghosts and spooky scary skeletons. I remember carving catacombite after catacombite into pumpkins, and when I was 12 I made myself a helmet of justice and an eye shield and went trick-or-treating as a dungeoneer. Absolutely nobody recognised it, but to this day it's the best Halloween costume I ever wore. And that's the story of my first informative memories of Nightmare and what it has meant to me since. Thanks for such a great podcast, and thanks for listening.
Thank you, Twill, for that lovely entry. Opinions on Raven aside, it's always great to hear from the younger generation who have discovered Nightmare through the challenge repeats. And I'm glad to know that even though it scared you to high heaven originally, you went back to it, you gave it another chance, and you ended up loving it. That's fantastic. And that's all we've got for this episode. As we said before, we'll be putting up a poll on our Patreon for you to vote on your favourite Nightmare memory. The poll will close at 11:59 on Friday the 29th of September. And the winner of the poll will receive either a mug or a t-shirt with their choice of design from our Redbubble store. This does not affect the main competition, the winner of which will be announced separately. It's just something a little extra we thought we'd do to get you guys a little bit more involved. And remember, you don't have to be a Patreon supporter in order to vote in the poll. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please give us a rating and review on your platform of choice. It really helps us to grow our audience by reaching others who might be interested. You can follow us on X or Twitter or Owl Stretching Time, whatever it's called at the moment. We're at Nightmare Pod. Be warned that we're not actually posting that much on there at the moment, so you might also want to follow us on our Mastodon, which is topspicy.social/@NightmarePod. Or on our brand new Facebook page, which is facebook.com/NightmarePod. If you would like to support the podcast monetarily, we are also Nightmare Pod on Patreon. Speaking of Patreon, here's a shout out to keepers of the Book of Quests, David M. Rabbit, Paul McIntosh, Peter Pulsford and Scott Evans. Advisors, Benjamin Bloom, David Thompson, Kim Harder, which is a silly surname, Peter Sidon and Paul Craddy. And Dungeoneers Peter Corridge and Adam D. Support us on Patreon at Dungeoneer level or above to get your name mentioned on the podcast. Higher level perks also receive merchandise, have access to exclusive episodes, and if you pledge as a keeper of the Book of Quests, we'll even offer you a chance to be a guest on the podcast. Our website is nightmarepod.co.uk. If you're looking for temporal discussion merchandise, including t-shirts, stickers, and other products, it's at nightmarepod.redbubble.com. You can email us at podcast@nightmarepod.co.uk. And thank you so much to all the people who have entered the competition. It's been great listening to all your memories. And just keep telling yourself, it's only a podcast. Isn't it?